This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
What's up? Welcome to the Sword Art Online Alicization War of Underworld After Show. We're talking episode 5, The Night Before Battle. And joining me are our special guests. We have Kimberly Woods and Deneen Melody. Welcome!
Yay! Hi.
So excited to have you both here. You both have some really interesting characters within the whole arc of the season of the show, because they're pretty big, even though they're little ladies.
They're very tiny.
Yes.
They're very tiny. They have big hearts.
They yes. do.
Absolutely.
They
do. Well, welcome. Thank you
Thank
for joining
you.
Me. And welcome to everybody who's watching us live. Yay. If you're watching live, please join in the chat. Have your questions on there. And if you're watching it later, please comment down below. All right, so we'll first get into the episode, and then we'll talk a little more in-depth about your roles in the show, and then just general voice acting stuff, because that's what we love about these shows.
Yay, cool.
All right, so the beginning, we have the Integrity Knights numbers are, like, dwindled down to way too small. Alice shows up at the battlefield, pretty much getting ready. Eldrea is excited she's back, but they got some interesting chemistry. What do you all think about their chemistry?
They do. We were actually kind of laughing because it is so like, what's like going on there?
Yeah. There's definitely something.
I feel that romance is a little bit more one-sided on Eldrea.
Yeah.
Right now, Alice is like, yeah, that's nice.
Yeah.
Like, that's okay.
Yeah.
They pretty much, their numbers are on the villain side, because, I don't know, it depends on what side you're siding on. It's like 50,000 versus just their 3,000. And Eldrea, what do you all think when he goes, get rid of Kirito, he's just dead weight?
No!
Oh, yeah.
Oh my goodness.
No.
Yeah, you're like, how could you say that?
Yeah.
It's evil.
It is very evil.
It hurtful, Eldrea, looking at you. We got Aaron in the chat and Oscar both comment. They like their necklaces.
Hi, guys.
They're wearing their characters if you can't see.
Yes. They're actually
keychains.
Yeah, that we made into like little necklaces.
Oh, perfect.
And it was super sweet because Deneen got mine for me at a convention.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So real life friends?
We are.
Yes.
Yay.
We are.
We got Chandler in the chat says Eldrea is jelly.
He is.
Very.
Definitely
very.
Jelly. I think so.
Yeah. All right. So we also, though, with Kirito, get that moment with Uncle Broccoli, and it's like he staves off a energy and then the dagger. Was that a little bit more hope that maybe Kirito's not as far gone as he seems to appear?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah. I was so excited. Like, oh, good. He's not, like, totally, like, gone, you know?
I mean, it is Kirito, so.
Yes. This is true.
He can't be gone.
Yeah. He's waiting for the right moment.
Yes.
To come back, so.
He's hurry up, but, you know, he's waiting. He's biding his time. Also, so he's not always locked away. He's not completely locked away. Mm-hmm. Alice starts having some feelings and expressing them and almost tries to kiss Kirito, and I'm a little conflicted on how I feel about that because I'm like, but she doesn't know about his relationship in the real world.
Yeah.
Oh, it's complicated. What do you think of that moment?
I was glad we interrupted.
Yes, we were laughing about that. I don't know. I think a lot of the feelings towards Kirito is very complicated.
Yes.
And so I think some of it can come across as very romantic, but it might just be something very deep, you know. So I want to see as it progresses where it goes. Because is she jealous and she's protective because she's in love with him?
Mm-hmm.
Or is it just because she has that connection?
I'm going to go both. I think they've had, it's like a solidarity love in terms of they've gone through so much together that's created a bond.
But I think she probably is starting to have romantic feelings. But I think the thing is, it's new for her. Mm-hmm. So she doesn't even know what to do with them.
Yeah.
And also she's like, well, wait, are you going to reciprocate this? What do you think of that almost kiss? Leave comments.
The almost kiss.
Oh, yeah. It was so close. I'm like, oh, this is kind of common. Because, I mean, Asuna, but, you know, Alice is, it's not another, oh, are you a Kirito-Alice ship or Asuna and Kirito ship? Ooh, comment. That's a little also complicated.
I'm curious to see what everybody's going to say.
Yes. Yeah. All right, we got a couple people in the chat. Alan says, hi, Deneen and Kimberly.
Hi, Alan.
I enjoyed watching last night's episode since it was too much emotionally with all the love, super kawaii, and always love them no matter what.
Thank you, Alan.
And Kindle says, it was great hearing you two reprise your roles as Ronnie and Tisei.
Thank you.
And then Natsu, I love this episode so much. The Night Before Battle is my favorite episode so far. I haven't cried this much since season 2. So, and a good question. What were some of your favorite moments? So let's do this episode and then in general. But then Natsu goes on to say, I love seeing Alice and Bercoli together. So what were your favorite moments in this episode and in this season?
Oh, wow. Well, I mean, I think we're both a little biased.
Yeah.
I loved seeing Ronnie and Tisei appear again after everything that they had gone through, and then to see them, like, return, and they still have so much hope, you know? To me, I loved seeing that. And then I also loved the scene with Alice and the purple knight.
Yes,
Finacio.
Yes,
man, that was super funny. We were laughing so hard. Finacio's a friend of ours too, and we know her in real life. And like watching that scene, but it was just great.
It was really funny.
It was great.
Yeah. I have to say, one of my favorite moments is when Tisei touches the sword and hears Yujiro's voice.
Yes. It's so sweet.
Yeah. And then also, I guess I think it's funny between Alice and Uncle. Their whole, like,
Uncle
vibe when he's like, you know, your cheeks have filled out.
Yeah.
He's like, what does that mean?
Well, she's grown up a little bit. She's not some scrawny kid now. We'll go with that. Yes. Which, thank you, that does lead us into that moment with your two characters. They show up, they break up, they show up just in time to interrupt the kiss and get to find out the truth of how Kirito's doing now and that Yujiro is not alive anymore. Mm. And I think that really hit a lot of the fans hard. How was that reaction, or how was that moment for you acting out that scene to be, you know, so sad to find out this person, which also, I'd say, one of when you're touching the sword, I think she had a thing for Yujiro a little bit too.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know.
Definitely.
Yeah. So how was that scene for both of you in the booth and then just, like, in general?
Coming in, I knew that it was going to be an emotional scene because, you know, they've been waiting to find out for so long what's happened with Kirito and Yujiro. And so it's like, this is the moment. And to find out that, you know, she loves Yujiro, the guy that you love has died, is just heartbreaking.
Yeah, and I mean, like, they saved these girls, so they mean so much to them. Again, not just romantically, but, like, this deep bond, and to then come back and have all of this hope. As you see, they were excited. They were so excited to find out that they had returned, but to find out that they didn't actually return in the way that they had hoped is very heartbreaking.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah. Like you, I was very prepared for it to be hitting hard.
Well, in that vein, Kindle asks, how did Alex direct you two when it came to the emotional scenes?
I like how you said this. He's a very honest director, and he brings out a lot of the truth in the moment. That even though it is anime, and it can be kind of big, it's all very truthful and very honest. And so we are bringing what we have from here, opposed to necessarily trying to match what is on the screen. It has to be real. Otherwise, nobody's going to believe it.
Mm-hmm.
So he makes sure that it's very honest and it's very real for us, so then it can relay.
Yeah. He definitely keeps us honest, and he'll have us do another take if he thinks we can go a little bit deeper with it. Mm-hmm. So I really love that. And he's always very good about kind of setting the stage, like, exactly what's going on internally for us, like, right before the moment. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
I going off of that a little bit further, as a voice actor, how do you get into that headset to be sad? I mean, we're very cheerful right now talking about a sad scene in a way. But how do you, like, you get to the booth and you know it maybe it's going to be a bit heavy. How do you get into that mode? Like, do you have any process or...
Yeah, tell me. I mean, I think for any actor, you have to find a way to relate to it. And even if that particular scene, you can't relate to it exactly, what is something that does make you feel sorrow or makes you feel that emotion so then you can bring it to that? I think that's very important. And that's how at least I go about it. I'm relating to Ronier, and I'm relating to Tise, and then trying to understand how they must be feeling, and I know when I felt like that.
Yeah, definitely. Just finding, like, what is that like in your life to lose somebody that you love, and just allowing it and trusting it.
Good advice. Yay. So we have, back to our question earlier, we got Chandler says, Asana and Kirito, no doubt. Alan says, last year I've been a huge, true fan of y'all since late March, episode 8. Ronnie and Tise are the sweetest. I'm never going to stop supporting. I'm going to keep on loving them forever. Aw. Oscar says, I kind of like Kirito and Alice for some reason. Right there. In this world, it kind of works, you know? Jeff Burns says, hi. Sharka says, hi. Sharka says, I actually own a towel with Yuji on it. Nice. Hi. Nice. You obviously have the necklaces.
Yes.
Do you have any other interesting items of your character?
I do. I just got a Tise plushie from Japan for Christmas.
Aww. Yeah. And I mean, I have actually another keychain that I had found. And then there's these little standees, like little plastic standees that are really cute that I found as well. So I hope that they make a towel with our characters.
Yeah, that would be cool.
Yeah, I want a towel.
Have you ever cosplayed any of your characters? Or would you?
Yes, we've actually talked about that.
Oh,
we have talked about it. So maybe you will see the two of us.
That might be happening.
But yeah, I haven't really cosplayed as any of my characters yet. But there's several that I'm like, I think I will at some point.
Yeah, not any of my anime characters yet. I did Yorichi from Bleach 1 year, but I didn't voice Yorichi, but. Yeah,
that's cool. Well, that's keyword is yet, so we'll see.
Yet.
For sure. So the great thing with your characters, too, they step up to the plate of you're the ones who are going to take care of Kirito so that Alice can go out on the battlefield and be like, no, I got this covered. They're going to watch him, which I would trust Kirito with both of you. You seem very responsible characters.
Thank you.
And people. You know.
They may be small, but they know what they're doing.
Yeah. They got fight in them.
They do.
Yes.
Yeah. They do.
And they're also still at the Sword Academy. You know, they're mastery. They're learning it. And so they're still progressing
as
well.
Yes. Primary trainees.
Yes. Yep. Primary trainees.
Primary. Yes. Oh, yes. Natsu says, Ronnie and Tise finally finding out about Kirito and explained to Alice about the taboo. So many emotions. Alex is doing a very awesome job adapting the episode and bringing out the emotions.
Yes, he is.
Yeah, that was a bigger thing. I like that reveal of them explaining to Alice, like, okay, so you know this happened, but do you know the details? Do you understand what went down? Because she didn't really know, and she's not really a character that would be like, yes, I need every single detail of the facts.
Yeah.
She's like, I got it. It's fine. Yeah. But no, I like that you explained it. Is that ever a thing when you're also acting, like, trying to explain to someone, I need to get the point across? Is that ever a thing that channeled, like, when you're trying to, when you have a moment where you have to convince somebody of something, do you channel something specific?
Oh, yeah. I mean, because there's a lot of times, especially in anime, where you have to, you don't get to just free reign and go on and on. You have a very limited time to get it, and you have, like, maybe one or, like, two sentences to be able to get it out. So, I'm thinking, how can I convey this and say this and make it make sense to the audience and also the other character?
Mm-hmm.
How
can you get your intention across and then also, like, what is at stake if you don't?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, I like this. Chandler says, small girls protect Veggie Kirito.
Yes. They do.
Yay. So then we get, we get the truth about the taboo, the sword, which I thought was... such a sweet moment and a cool connection that they shared, which also makes you think maybe Yujiro's not, like, gone. You know, like, he's gone, but, like, there was still something, a spirit in a way.
Yeah, there's still something somewhere. Out there. Yeah.
Or the idea that, objects embody part of who they belong to as well. Yeah. Which is probably why Kirito also wants to
Exactly.
I'm not, exactly. Kendall asks, have you two watched the sub version of Alice's Asia?
Yes, we have. Actually, yes. Because, you know, we knew that we'd be coming back, and so I would watch the episodes to know and, have an expectation. I know what's coming.
Okay.
But also to just better understand the story, so then you can better understand the characters.
Exactly. Yeah. So when you go into record, we know what to expect and what's been happening.
So you like to know ahead what's going to happen to your character, or do you kind of like doing one at a time?
Well, I like the show, so, in this particular case, I was watching it because I just want to know what happens, and I just happen to be voicing characters in it, so, but I mean, it depends. I mean, I kind of do like to know, so then I know, the arc of the character.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Same.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. To me, it helps. Some people aren't like that, though. Yeah.
It definitely seems to be up to personal preference of your own approach to your character,
Yeah, spoilers too. Or no spoilers?
That's a good question. All right. Nyan Kitty says, any funny bloopers in the studio so far?
Oh, my gosh. Yes.
All right. Can you share any of them yet, or are they more of things to come?
No. It's trying to say your last name.
Oh, yes.
Oh, my gosh. Tisei's last name.
Streenan. Which I also have had trouble with, too.
That's
funny enough.
Yeah. I can't say it.
your best friends. Why would you say your friend's last name?
But I don't have to say it. She says Tisei.
Okay. Oh. Natsu says, now it's Ronnie and Tisei's turn to protect Kirito and their home and fight against Emperor Vecta and his army.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. We do see them at the end jumping up a little bit ahead. But I like that they're on the battlefield at the back, but still there.
They're still there.
I thought they were going to stay back at camp and protect it.
No. And I love that, too. It's, such a nice arc for them that, they had something very terrible and traumatic happen to them. And, instead of just, crumbling and giving up, they're, again, hopeful and they're strong. And to see them out there on the battlefield is just, yes.
Yeah, it's so great.
Yes.
Exciting.
I like this part too. Aaron, and then comment on it in a second. Aaron Frost says, I especially enjoy Alice going into big sister mode with them and transforming. It really shows how much she's grown and changed. Yeah, did it feel like a big sister moment to you of how Alice becomes relatable to them?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. I mean, when she tells them it's about your soul.
Yeah,
it's
your
not
heart
your body.
And your soul are
it's
yours.
What's in
soul
here.
You. Yeah.
And I think that's what the girls needed to hear.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not about the outsides. That doesn't define who you are.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yes.
Sharka says, I may not like the Emperor, but I do love listening to Greg Chun's voice. Yes. Shout out. Yes. Thank you, Xander and Greg, showing up last week. Yay.
Yes.
The loser team says, I love me some Ronnie and Tisei. Really love Tisei's character design.
Yeah, the She's red so is cute. So cool.
If you have any anime hair color, what would you pick? Oh, and style, because their hair can do anything.
Actually, quite often I have red hair and I'll do it very bright red like Tisei, actually. Mm. And that's, you've seen it where it's the bright red.
Yeah.
And that's probably my anime hair color.
Yeah. I would definitely do the red, too.
The red is so cool.
Right. Tisei red.
Yes.
Yeah. Tisei red.
It's not Ariel red anymore. It's Tisei red.
Ah, yes. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Alan says, can't wait for Ronnie and Tisei's fighting as Emperor Vecta's army in episode 9. So not too soon. It's going to be soon. Yeah, it's getting there. And Nyan Kitty says, you do amazing voice work, by the way.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for all the comments and questions, everybody. Keep them coming. Make sure to hit that like button and subscribe so you can be up to date when we have our episodes coming up, because we're going to have even more voice actors for the rest of the season. So we get also we mentioned a little bit, but we'll come back to the Lady Fanatio.
Yes.
When her and she's changed, I Alice goes, is she wearing makeup?
Yes. We were so laughing at that. That's perfect.
It was so great, the bright red lipstick.
Yeah, she's a little bit. But you know what? There's those days where you want to get glammed up and other days where you're not so much. And it's okay to wear makeup. It's okay not to wear makeup. But I like that Alice notices and is okay. And then also the night she talks about how, she realized it's not about who she is when she fights, and it's okay to express herself any which way she wants, which is great because, you know, like, she unfortunately went to a place where she didn't feel she could express her femininity for fear of how people would treat her. So that's unfortunate. I'm glad she's kind of had that little bit of an arc change. I did really like that lady standoff between Alice and her. So funny. I do think that we touched upon it a little earlier. Alice is like, No, I don't have to. I don't need permission and everything like that.
It's very funny. And it, again, especially because, like, knowing the actors, I'm just like, oh, I bet they love doing that.
Yeah. I loved it.
Knowing the actors and then knowing each other, too, do you see the people when you hear those voices or do you see the characters?
I see.
Like, do you envision them?
I see them in the character.
Okay.
If that makes sense.
Yes.
Like, it is that character, just like with Tisei. It is Tisei, but I can see and feel Kimberly in Tisei.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd say the same.
Yeah.
It's Ronnie, but it's like the essence of Deneen in there. But yeah, I don't see Deneen. No. Yeah.
Yes. So we also get the War Council. They're kind of doing their last little battle planning. Not little, but their last battle planning and how they have the arts, the sacred arts, and... okay, let's just destroy everything so that they can't pull from that magic. And it's like, it sounds like a good plan, but I'm a little suspicious. What did you think of their battle council meeting? It's like, we're going over all the plans. But I do think it was smart that they go, okay, well, let's bring all the healing options we have. So I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
They got some planning going on. What did we think of Alice when she gets her moment that they go, excuse me, you're the strongest one.
I went, duh.
And Alice, it's you.
She's like, what? Yes. Ooh, Chandler says, Fanatio and Alice, both alphas butting heads. True that. Mm-hmm. And Sharka, shout out, I love wearing different shades of lipstick. Yes. Mm-hmm. Then we have, so they're planning. Alice gets that moment of like, oh, I'm the best one. But she probably hasn't fought anybody very recently to get a sense of that.
Yeah.
Also, hasn't had an opportunity to really let loose her powers full out, you know, because she's not fighting anybody immediately that she can really play with that. So I'm curious to see where she can go.
Yeah, I'm excited.
They get to the... they get to their, like, the ravine, essentially, and that the walls, and it says final low test. I do like that everybody goes...
What?
What is that? Yeah.
It's nice for them to acknowledge and like, wait, that doesn't fit right.
Yeah.
And then everybody has a ready stance. You're like, yes. It's like, so getting so ready. Actually, rewind a little bit. We do get another chemistry moment. We have Alice and Eldrie kind of almost doing a thank you farewell.
Yes.
I did feel bad for him at that moment where he's like, why are you saying goodbye?
Sounds so final.
Yeah. I know. It was actually pretty sad.
You're just like, wait, no. But I like how she did it. Like, no, you're going to continue to grow. This is the information I can give you. And she is serious and business mode.
Yeah.
So, yes. Then we have, I was like, oh, also, speaking of somebody who has experience, Uncle. Again, Uncle. Comments to Alice, like, no, Kirito has more life experience than I do. I thought that was such a cool moment. Alice is like, wait, how? But you're older. And it kind of is that moment where us, the fans, are like, well, Kirito's gone through quite a lot, let me tell you. How is that as a fan watching and, like, knowing essentially the whole journey of Kirito for you as a fan, like, watching? And then when moments like that come up and you're like, well, actually,
Kirito. Yeah, that's actually exactly how it's like, well, wait. Just you wait.
Just know. He's going to be popping up right at the
moment. Right at the...
saving the day.
Yep. When they absolutely need him.
Yep.
Yes.
He'll be there.
Well, that's it in that episode of pretty much seeing. Let's look at some other comments. Renji says, the part when Alice said she made her uncle sweat was a little cringe. All right. I can see where that is. That was not exactly where my head went then, but hey. Aaron says, I love when Fanatio, the briefing scene, Berkeley may be the strongest, but Fanatio is the leader and strategist. That's a good point. Like, she does seem to be like, here are my plans.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And she has a good plan. I like where they're going for
it.
Alan says, for
Both of you? Oh, you are both of you are the angels of love and beauty. Aww. To become voicing as Ranie and Tise as sweethearts. The kawaii of anime. Aw, yeah. Yes.
Alan's so sweet.
Yeah. Daniel says, I feel bad for Ranie and Tise. Why? Like,
I have to say, yeah, no. I mean, okay. Like, I can understand because of the trauma and everything that they've gone through, but these girls are
tough. They have grown. Yeah. Yes.
They're tough and they're strong. Like, I don't think you have to feel so bad for them anymore. No. They are standing on their own.
Yeah, yes. They're brave.
Yes. Absolutely. So. What are some similarities and dissimilarities you have with your character?
Go ahead.
I would like to think that I have a good heart, like Tise.
Thank you.
I love that she, you know, her and Ronnie like stood up for their friend. Mm-hmm. So I like that. Differences? Well, I don't know. I mean more confidence, but I think that Tise is finding that. Mm-hmm. So,
oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So with Ronnie, she's very devoted and very dedicated, and I do have that in me for sure. And she cares very deeply for her friends, which is very obvious. She feels when Tise's heart is breaking after touching the sword, and she reaches out for her, and like, I can relate to that. But I do have to say she's a lot sweeter than I am. She's just like a little cinnamon roll, and I'm like, I like that I get to play this, but I'm not that sweet.
Well, she's a cinnamon roll. Do you have more spice then? We'll go.
I got a little bit more spice.
Yeah.
Just a little bit. Yeah.
How did you get into your character's voice? Like, when you first got the role and are deciding how this character's going to talk, how did you get to that sound? Whoever wants to go first.
Yeah.
Mostly thinking about her perspective on life. She kind of has, like, this optimistic, very warm voice, very sweet voice, and also how young they are, like, bringing that into the pitch a little bit. Mm-hmm. And then she's a noble, so sometimes we would try to take that into account with the way that she talks. Mm.
Yeah. And for Ronnie, we had to make sure, and actually, when you step into the booth, you have to find the character first, and one of those things is finding the character's voice. And for Ronnie, that included the pitch, because as you can hear, I don't sound like Ronnie normally, but because she's so little, and I didn't want to sound like Kimberly, and it's also important not to sound like any of the other characters, Alex and I worked a little bit, maybe just a couple minutes, to find which one of my voices would work best for her, and we loved where we went with, and and just making her, I don't like to say that she's timid so much, but she is a little bit, you know, soft, and she's sweet, and she doesn't want to make anybody upset, so, yeah.
Meek?
I don't know if that's a good word.
I think she's a little bit more timid than, than Tise. I think Tise may have a little bit more confidence to her. I feel like she's always just like, Tise. But... yeah, she's grown too.
Most of the time, you record in the booth by yourself. Did you ever get to record together, or was it always separate?
No.
It's always separate. Yeah. Sometimes, depending on schedules, I will hear Deneen.
Yes.
Character, or...
Yes.
Yeah, vice versa.
Yeah, we talk about that sometimes. It's always so nice if one of us gets to record before the other.
I was going to ask if you get to hear the other person's voice.
Yeah, you get to hear the other. Okay. And, I mean... I think we've been pretty split. Sometimes I've gone in first, and so I don't get to hear Kimberly, but then I'll go in second. And then on those takes, it's really nice because I do get to hear her, and vice versa.
Yeah.
So it just depends. Yeah. So it's almost like working together.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
What about when your character was crying? How did it feel? Who was recording first, and who got to hear the other? Do you remember?
Were you first?
I think you were first.
She was first.
That was in, like, December?
Yeah.
And
okay, because I was going to say, how was it, like, hearing then your friend cry?
I know. And it's also, like, I mean, it's an emotional thing, but it's also a technical thing. Mm. Because, again, you have two young girls crying, so you can't, you know, we'd play back Kimberly's, and then I'd have to be like, okay, so she's sobbing this way, so make sure that you maybe go up a little bit more, or, like, make it a little bit more like this, So then you can hear the different levels in the crying, so it just doesn't sound like
one.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, it's very fascinating. Yeah.
How do you make crying sound like good instead of just, you know, like, I feel crying's an easy one to get wrong when some people are, you know, mimicking it, mocking it. How do you get to the point of making crying, like, do you make yourself cry?
For those scenes, I was crying in the booth. But it's an interesting thing because you still have to have it in the voice. You sometimes have to push it a little bit more for it to, like, come through, even if you are physically crying in the booth.
It's a lot of it with any type of reacts, whether it's crying or anything. It's about using your body. Because, as you can see, these girls, I mean, sure, you can cry, but unless you're, like, really into it, it's not going to sound believable. So you can make the sobbing noises, and you can maybe bring out tears, but unless you're actually, like, living what the characters are doing, it's not just voiceover. You actually do use your body.
Yeah. That's a good point, because when they're, like, falling to their knees, you have to kind of take that into account.
And holding each other, and you can see them sobbing, like,
Maybe a joke, but maybe serious. Oathkeeper says, always have onions. Have you used any outside source to make you cry?
No. It's all in here. And in here.
I was crying when I just watched the sub, like, before I went in. So I just think that scene.
It's very sad.
The whole,
Well, because it's the context.
Yes.
Like, what does that scene mean? What is it before? Because it's not, you're not going into it, like, nothing happened before. It's all what leads up to it. So that's important as well, which you mentioned is brought into it from voice director. So that does help. What is some advice that you've, have you encountered it where you maybe didn't have a director that led you in? So then that is your job as the actor to get there. Did you do you have any advice for people of like, okay, maybe you don't have the best director or don't have the time to really get into it. What is your kind of mental prep for that?
Trust your instincts. Like, you know, if you don't have somebody who's there and is basically giving you what you feel you need, look at the scene, look at the character, and again, as I mentioned before, think about your own experiences, and maybe there's, you haven't experienced that exactly, but maybe there's something that's close to it, and then just use your instincts from that and go for it.
Yeah, and trust yourself to just allow it to happen. And then also set it up for yourself, like set up that moment before. Take the time to do that.
Yeah, and it's always important that even though you are recording by yourself and you don't always get to hear the other actors, to remember you're not just acting with yourself. There is another character there usually, unless there's a monologue. But, I mean, remember that you are talking to another person. Yeah, that's important. Yeah.
Very good tips. Not to ask, do you read the light novel? Have you read the light novels of Sword Art?
I have not.
I've read into them, so I know a little bit more. And, like, of course, Ronya and Tisei have, like, Moon Cradle, which I have read into, and I hope that they animate that.
Yeah.
Some people did comment that on Twitter. Thank you, everybody who was commenting, retweeting, liking, and sharing on Twitter.
Yes.
That really helps. That's wonderful, because then you know when to be here live for these kind of Q&As.
Yes. Yeah.
We've had a kind of a generic question too, and you've probably touched upon it before, but what are your advice? What is your advice to aspiring voice actors to get started, or just kind of like, what are some things that you wish maybe you knew before you got into it?
I mean, definitely study acting, because voice acting is acting, so if you haven't taken a scene study class or anything like that, definitely do that. And cold reading is super important.
Exactly. What Kimberly just said, it is, there's kind of a misconception sometimes that voiceover is easy. It's like, oh yeah, I have a great voice, but it's acting. It's still acting. And as I said, just when we were talking about the crying, you're not just crying. You have to use your body. You have to live it. And classes are important, even if you have done other things in the industry like theater and stuff like that. It's good to take voiceover classes because it is still very specific. And there's a lot of great teachers and classes out there.
There's definitely a lot out there for sure.
Oh, yeah.
And actually, Kimberly, if you would explain what cold reading is in case people don't know what that is.
So a lot of the times we don't get the script before we get into the booth. So we walk into the booth, we see the line, we're expected to just use our instincts, and bring that line to life. So if you're at home, what I like to do sometimes is when I'm playing video games and my character discovers one of those notes, you know, I'll read that note out loud in a character voice. And
That's exactly what I've done is I've gone back and played games like Chrono Cross, which is my favorite, and it does not have voiceover. Mm-hmm. So when I'm playing it, it's a great way to just, like, when it pops up, just read it. That's exactly, I think a lot of people do that.
Yeah,
so much fun. We're nerds.
No, that's great.
But it's a great way to practice.
Yeah. What has been the most bizarre or funny cold read that you've come into or been, okay. Like, you get a script or a line that you were a little bit surprised
of. Oh, my goodness. Okay.
I have to think about that for a second.
I mean, a lot of times, yeah, you don't even get the script, but sometimes you don't even know what character you're playing. Mm-hmm. I was cast in a video game where I had no idea. Like, I was just cast, and I had no idea what I was playing until I got into the booth and already had my headphones on and was standing in front of the microphone, and it popped up, and it was like, okay, now record. And it's like, oh, okay, wait, let me look at the picture real quick and try to figure it out. So, I mean, that has happened. Yeah, and that was kind of, I mean, they were very cool, and, you know, and luckily they're characters that are in my, like, character range, mm-hmm. so, but, imagine if it wasn't, imagine if it was, like, some character that was, like, way out there.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kimberly?
I don't know. It's happened to me before where I've gone in and it's been, like, a deeper voice character, which I don't always go in for, so that's been interesting to immediately just try to, like, dive in and
We had a question. Oathkeeper asked, what was the hardest part in recording? I mean, we haven't gotten to episode 10, we're only on episode 5 of the dub, but that's aired. So what has been the hardest scene to record that's already aired, and maybe a tease of what's up to come?
Well, and Oathkeeper is asking about the first part of Alicization, which is the hard episode. Yes, I think we both agree that would probably be the hardest scene that we recorded.
Yeah.
Because it's a lot.
And it's a horrific. What's happening in the scene is just for those two girls.
And Toonami was great in how they edited down it so you didn't really see everything, but we recorded the full scene. Mm-hmm. And so take our word for it when we say it, you know, it's a lot. It was a lot.
It was intense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We talked about last week with the villains, so now somebody who experiences something happening to them. Mm-hmm. How do you slosh that off after you've done an intense scene that's either traumatic or sad or anything that's, like, uncomfortable? How do you, as an actor, personally go, okay, and, like, get out and not have that go with you?
Well, for myself, I'm not necessarily, like, a method actor. So while in that scene in particular, I actually could relate to it, I didn't allow myself to actually have to get to that point to where I was in darkness, because I knew that we still had other things in that session to record. And it's time. So I just, you know, you put yourself into that moment for that moment. And then you just have to, like you said, like kind of brush it off and then go, because then in the next scenes, they're like, bye.
It's something cute. Like, it's something different. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that is the key, too, is, like, just telling yourself that it's only going to be for those moments.
Yeah.
You let yourself just go there and then come back.
Yeah.
Nice. And then hopefully go do something fun afterwards to, like,
forget
about it.
Yeah. Yes. Okay, awesome. Well, thank you so much for talking with me about this episode. Thank you, everybody who is watching. Is there any projects that you're currently working on that you want to tease about or convention?
Yeah.
You're like, but where can people follow you to be up to date when these NDAs are not applicable?
You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Kimberly Woods, and on Facebook, facebook.com/officialKimberlyWoods.
Yes, and you can find me also on Twitter and Instagram under Deneen Melody. And then, I guess you can Google me.
No, that works.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for talking with me about the episode. It was super fun to hear your insight.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Our
pleasure.
And
thank you to all of these lovely people who joined us. We actually know several of you, and it definitely warms my heart.
Yeah, we appreciate it.
Yes.
Make sure to also go follow Sword Art USA, which is the official Twitter for Sword Art Online. And then you can find me online at Carrie D. Lane. That's K-A-R-I-D-L-A-N-E. So also on ABTV Anime. So that's AfterBuzz ABTV Anime. Posts about the links of when more of these episodes. But again, if you click that subscribe button, you'll be in the know. All right, thank you so much for watching, and we'll see you next time.
Bye!
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.